The death toll from the September 19th earthquake in Mexico is over 340. Rescue efforts are ongoing, with crews sifting through the rubble by hand. But one rescue attempt, if you can call it that, got a lot of attention for what didn't happen and what it reveals about how Mexico is coping with the impact of the magnitude 7.1 earthquake and its many aftershocks. Last week, in the first couple days after it struck, media in Mexico and around the world focused on the story of Frida Sofia.
There's a little girl. She says her name is Frida and that there's two more children near her.
Crews frantically dig through the rubble, making contact with the young girl still alive. The incredible effort to free her and her classmate.
Crews unable to pull her out at this point, but they have been able to get her water and oxygen.
And there were details about where the 12-year-old girl was and what she was saying, about how someone saw her fingers wiggling amid the debris. But finally, officials said there was no Frida Sofia waiting to be rescued, and there never was. Rodrigo Cervantes is the Mexico City bureau chief for KJZZ, and he's been reporting from rescue sites in the city and following the mystery of Frida Sofia.
You start to hear some specific descriptions of a girl who is trapped under the Repsamen school debris, that she was texting her mother, that she was talking to some of the rescuers. As the story starts to evolve and Televisa gets exclusive access a few steps away from this building, that's when we hear the name Frida Sofia, given by one of the people in charge of the area from the Mexican Navy.
Aha. You mentioned Televisa had exclusive access. You and the other reporters had to stand, what, a block away?
Yes, there was also no visibility at all for us. Televisa, having the opportunity to be like a few steps away from the collapsed construction, had constant images of what was happening there. And they would constantly also like broadcast with their reporter on site with descriptions of what was happening. Sometimes even the volunteers would ask for silence to try to hear if there's like any signs of life. And even those moments would be broadcast live.
When reporters searched school records, talked to people, they found that there was no Frida Sofia in the roster and no missing Sofias at all. Many of them began to think that Televisa and perhaps the government was ginning this up. Why?
Televisa has like a history flirting with power and flirting with the government for years and decades. It was pretty much a monopoly of information where a strong tie between the government and the media was obvious for a lot of people. The case of a child waiting to be saved from the debris, this is not new also. Back in the day in the 1985 earthquake, which also happened on a September 19th, they were looking in downtown Mexico City for a child with the nickname of Monchito. This is the shortening for Ramon. And the idea of this child that was the only surviving person under the debris in this building is very similar to the one of Frida Sofia. People were talking about Monchito. They had a lot of hope to find him. Rescuing teams from Italy, among other countries, visited the area. As the government and some experts decided that there were like no more people living there and they wanted to bring excavators to the scene, some people from the community and volunteers blocked them and they extended the search until it was evident that no one was there. And just as is happening right now, there were direct accusations against Televisa and the government for building a story and try to distract the people from the lack of support from the government and the lack of help while they were working on the excavations.
Is it possible that it's simply the kind of fog of chaos that follows a disaster like this? You know, could it have been an honest mistake?
We probably will never know the real answer for that question. Some people might say it was, and in fact, some psychologists attribute this kind of phenomena to a collective need to find a hero, find a symbol of hope. It is very interesting to see how these characters that will bring you some peace and some hope are constantly emerging. Right now, for instance, the main character are the rescue dogs looking for people.
Rescue dogs have been searching the rubble.
And more than 60 crew members and their five dogs
are from the Los Angeles County Fire Department.
The story of a four-legged hero is emerging. Meet the Labrador Retriever named Frida.
Well, that certainly makes sense. Suspicion of the government, frustration with the civilian rescue teams, deep distrust of the media. Who else are you going to trust but a dog?
Yes, and what people are, in fact, claiming is we have to trust in ourselves. Actor Diego Luna, for instance, was with Conan O'Brien giving his testimony on what happened to him.
And we run out, and there was a building that fell like half a block away from where we were.
Completely collapsed.
Yeah, it's seven-story building and a gigantic cloud of dust in front of us, you know. The beautiful thing is you would imagine people would be running away from this cloud. Mm-hmm. But here's was the opposite, you know, everyone running towards the cloud, trying to get there to save someone, to save a dog, to try to see if there was anything you could do. And that's a beautiful thing. I mean, it happens in a country, such a corrupted country like ours, where you know the government is not going to get there. The
help. As a citizen, the feeling is, well, it's all about us and what we can do as a community here in Mexico.
They can't trust the government. They can't trust the media, or at least the huge network Televisa. They're concerned about the competence of certain ad hoc civilian groups. The stakes can't be higher. What do you do in a situation like that?
People in general are realizing the importance of verifying the sources of all these messages they're getting through WhatsApp or social media about alleged robbings, for instance, or alleged miscarrying of help. People are getting more aware of the importance, the impact, and the damages that social media can have in society.
Do you really believe that this tragedy offers an opportunity for some media literacy?
I think so, Brooke. And let me give you a couple of examples of what I witnessed here. For instance, in the beginning of the earthquake, you could find a lot of posts on Facebook or Twitter, people asking for help. People also alerting of buildings that were collapsing. There was a fake message of a building collapsing a couple of blocks away from where I live. So as soon as this fake information started to circulate, people started asking to each other, okay, where did you get that information? They started to add dates. They started to add locations using their cell phones to prove that they are at the locations where help is needed or where something is happening. Even like some interesting efforts from the civil society to organize and to build platforms to verify this information. Among them, there is an effort supported by Google. They built this platform to try to help and bring accurate information. People are becoming more aware of the importance of having some clarity. Next year, Mexico is going to have presidential elections. And of course, there is a collective concern that the tragedy is going to be used for political purposes. People are booing politicians who are showing up at the areas of devastation, for instance.
CNN has reported on something called the identifiable victim effect, how when people are confronted with a huge public tragedy, they tend to zero in on a single person's story, especially a child's story. You think that's what happened here?
I wouldn't be surprised at all if that's the case, because this is something that we've seen throughout history of mankind, probably. In the two world wars, in recent catastrophes, like Katrina, for example, or in London during the fire, you constantly see the repetition of this story of the last survivor who happens to be a child. I really think that people just need something to believe in and to keep fighting. Not that they need it, by the way, because the solidarity that you can see in Mexico City is overwhelming. For instance, there are some places where they put improvised tents where they're collecting goods to help all the communities that have been affected. People can show up there with one razor or one bag of rice or with some instruments for excavating. It doesn't matter. People cheer them and applaud them, and there is this sensation of solidarity and support. So, yeah, maybe we like to read these stories of hope and of someone who can become like the emblem for a cause. But at the end, as far as I've seen in Mexico City, Brooke, I can tell you that probably the biggest and the strongest symbol that Mexico City has found is its own citizens.
Rodrigo, thank you very much.
Brooke, thank you very much for having me.
Rodrigo Cervantes is the Mexico City Bureau Chief, which is part of the Fronteras Desk, for KJZZ based in Phoenix. Thanks for listening. The Big Show is posted tomorrow. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.